Good morning and welcome to Politics Up Close on KCBW. I'm Jeff Robinson. Democratic Salt Lake County Councilman Jim Bradley has served in that position since the county council was created 12 years ago, but his roots in politics and in county government go much earlier. The lifelong county resident served as chair of the county commission from 1991 to 1994 and worked in the administrations of Governors Scott Matheson and Norm Bengeter. More recently, he spearheaded an effort to create the county's urban farming program and help create the county's fairly new unified police department, though that effort wasn't without controversy. He joins me now in the studio to talk about his accomplishments and why he's hoping for another 6 years on the job by running for re-election this year. And, Councilman, good morning. It's good to have you.
Well, it's always good to be here. Thank you.
Listeners, join us on the air with your questions and comments for Salt Lake County Councilman Jim Bradley, who's running for re-election in 2012. Call in at 801-355-TALK. 801-355-8255. Send your tweets to us at KCBW. Well, Jim, having been in county government for at least 16 years now, what makes you want to come back for more?
Well, that does sound like a long time, doesn't it? Well, let me tell you, there's several reasons why I'm running for re-election. First of all, I want to believe that I've met the expectations of the people in terms of providing an honest, open, and effective government. If I didn't believe I was serving that purpose, then I wouldn't run. But I believe I have achieved that and will continue to do so. Also, with Mayor Peter Caroon leaving and Janie Iwamoto from the Mill Creek area leaving, I'm a little worried that during a particular crucial time on some very important initiatives for the county that we'll be losing some continuity. And I think it's extremely important that we continue on some of those, all of those initiatives, quite frankly. And I'm talking specifically about our criminal and social justice initiatives, where we're trying to minimize the number of days that prisoners stay in jail, trying to have a more efficient criminal justice system that provides not only early and firm judicial judgments on people as they come through the court, but also providing them help in terms of, you know, maybe alcohol, drug, mental health problems that they have, trying to reduce the amount of recidivism. The benefit to the public for that is twofold, obviously. One is that you turn a person's life around and they don't come through the system again. And secondly, if we can reduce the jail stay, the time people stay in jail, we've reduced a huge cost in terms of having to build more beds, a tremendous cost to any community. Secondly, we're involved, as you mentioned, our unified policing department has been a tremendous success. We have a number of cities who are involved in that, and the concept of regional policing has proved to be the right way to go. We've had 1 year under our belt, and we have some growing pains still, but it looks like it's working extremely well. I'm very proud of that. Also important on the map is the revamping of our what we call FCOS, the Foothill and Canyon Overlay Zone, which controls development in our canyons and mountains and foothills in the Wasatch Mountains. And that's extremely important as we look to allow ski resorts to be year-round resorts, which they truly are, but also making sure that development pressures are kept in control and that we're not irreparably damaging our canyons and mountains east of the county here. You also mentioned the urban farming initiative, which is an open space, which is about a year and a half, 2 years going now. We've been able to take surplus county land that we're saving for future use, for future buildings or whatever, or just for aesthetic purposes for open space, but turning that into some type of productive use, allowing commercial farmers and CSAs, which are community-supported agricultural co-ops, in a sense, to be able to use that land for productive use while we're not using it, keeping it in the public domain but putting it out for beneficial use. So those are some of the things that I've been involved in, all very exciting. I thoroughly enjoy my service on the council, and I think that I've been quite effective in many of these areas, and would like to continue on and make sure that we're able to take these to their appropriate conclusions.
Do you have concerns that your opponents will play the whole, you know, lifelong politician card, as we've seen against Orrin Hatch?
Well, you know, sure. You know, and I need to be able to respond to that. Mm-hmm. The one thing that I have is I have another life besides politics, which is always good. The county council is part-time.
Right.
And it allows me to do other things which are important to my family and me and our profession. So I don't want to say I dabble in politics because I take it very, very seriously, but it's mm-hmm. not all-consuming.
Take us back to the days before you got into politics, Jim. What is your private sector background, and how did that lead you into, you know, working for Scott Matheson and Norm Bangeter and then later county government?
Well, I started in county government before I worked for any of those gentlemen. I worked actually in alcohol and drug services, monitoring federal grants that were coming to the county to provide those the monies for those services. And just got involved in politics. Part of it's just the kitchen table with your parents talk and everything else. They were very active, and so it gets in your blood, so to speak. But I professionally, grant contract management, in energy, I consulted in waste management and energy development, specializing, quite frankly, and in the oil, shale, and tar sands. Not that I'm a proponent of that, but I got to know it very, very well. And then when I went to work for Governor Matheson as director of the Utah Energy Office, that was during the boom and the bust, both, of the synthetic fuel development out in eastern Utah. Mm-hmm. And it was very exciting times, but I got a thorough education in energy development and the busts and booms associated with it. And went on and continued on into private practice after I left the state government. And then in 1988, thought that I could provide a service to the county and ran for county commission. I lost that election, but it was very, very close. Came back in 90 and won.
This is Politics Up Close on KCBW. My guest is Salt Lake County Councilman Jim Bradley. He's seeking re-election this year. Join us on the air at 801-355-TALK. That's 801-355-8255 with your questions and comments. How was county government different back in those days, Jim, during the time of, you know, the county commission, very different form of government, no mayor, obviously. How is it different 20 years ago than now, and has it improved?
Well, I think it's improved. Let me just start by saying that. When you have three commissioners, which we had, who not only were the executive but the legislative branch of the government, it could be fairly heady. You only need one more vote to do anything you want, quite frankly, which means that you could be very efficient, but also there's the possibilities of, I don't want to say corruption, but maybe not being as transparent with the public as one ought to be, because you need to talk to only one other person to get something done and to consummate a vote. With the advent of the council, much more rigorous in terms of the transparency. We have honest debates every Tuesday afternoon in our council of a whole, all kinds of differences of opinion with nine council members. And also in terms of the functioning of the county government on the administrative side, with a strong mayor form of government, which we have, you put a good mayor in there like Peter Kroon, and good things happen in terms of just providing greater efficiencies and providing the services that people deserve.
One issue that you've been heavily involved in, Jim, during your time in county government is the arts. So what do you count among your personal accomplishments for the arts, and how have the arts in the county improved?
Well, there's a number of things. And, you know, obviously the Zoo Arts and Parks legislation is extremely important, and the people have supported that and will continue to, because it's part of our culture, and it's one of the great things that happens in this community in terms of improving our quality of life. You can't compare us to anybody in terms of what we have available in the arts and culture to any other community of our size. And I'm very proud of that, just being able to support it. But specifically, Before I left office in 1994, we purchased the land to build the Rose Wagner, and that went on the following year to be built. Went through that process, and the Rose Wagner Performing Arts, I mean, that's been just a tremendous success. We could probably use three or four more of those types of facilities, small theater-type black box venues for the number of art groups that are out there and need a stage and need seats for audiences. So that's been very, very successful. One of the things that probably doesn't count a whole lot in terms of the scheme of things, but one of the things I'm most proud about is that when I was in the commission, the name of Abravanel Hall was Concert Hall.
Right.
And Maurice Abravanel, who was our conductor for 40 years, the Utah Symphony, was reaching his 80th birthday, and we decided that renaming the hall, Abravanel Hall, while he was alive and honoring him was the appropriate thing to do. There was a bit of controversy on that. But I made sure it was done, and we celebrated, and it turned out to be, I think, an appropriate gift to him.
We're going to take a call in just a second here, Jim, but sticking with the arts for a minute here, you know, the future of this Utah Performing Arts Center, this Broadway-type theater, could greatly depend and probably will greatly depend on whether the county is willing to get involved in it. From your perspective, should the county be involved?
Well, that's a very, very good question. We work in concert with Salt Lake City on a number of issues, and oftentimes they're related. For instance, we are building a building with Ballet West right west of our Capitol Theater. And we're partnering with the city on some of the costs of that, certainly with our Salt Palace Convention Center, which is not art-related, but we have a lot of affiliation with the city in terms of making that work appropriately. But I the answer to the question is that the large performing arts center that's being proposed by Salt Lake City and the mayor does lead to a lot of questions. I know that there are a lot of the art groups around who are concerned about taking audiences away from them, and I think that's, you know, I think it's something you should ask. I'm not sure we'll be playing to the same audiences, quite frankly, but we're also looking at a fairly large cost. Now, the city's convinced that they can do it, and what we've told the city is if you build it, the most appropriate people around to run it would be Salt Lake County, because we operate those facilities, the Capitol Theater, Rose Wagner, Abravanel Hall, on and on. We have a terrific legacy in terms of doing a great job of running those facilities. And if they were to build one, it would be in the public's benefit to have us run that as well, just because we know how to do it. They say that would be fine, but also they would expect us to participate somehow in the funding. Now, the one thing that is coming up and the council will be dealing with is the bonds on the energy solution facility where the Jazz play are expiring. The county allowed their tax increment that went to the county to go to helping pay for that building. This happened way back. This happened back in the 90s. But now those are expiring, and we could roll those over and dedicate that tax increment to the Performing Arts Center. And, you know, that would be the way that we would participate, but not a new tax, not out of the general fund, but just rolling over that tax increment that already exists.
Listeners, join us on the air with Salt Lake County Councilman Jim Bradley at 801-355-TALK, 801-355-8255. Bert from Salt Lake City, you are on the line with Jim Bradley. What's your question or comment?
Well, thank you. I'd like to know what the county and Councilman Bradley have done for the south end of the valley and the west part of the valley from Harriman to West Valley City. We know what they do for Salt Lake City, but I'd like to hear what the goal is for benefiting and assisting the south end of the valley and the west part of the valley.
Very interesting question, Bert. Thank you.
That's an excellent question, because as a council, and I represent the whole council in my district, not just any particular area, and it is very important that the whole county is serviced by the county in terms of the amenities that go. Now, we do tend to cluster the arts and culture down in Salt Lake because that's the best way to do it. But in terms of parks and recreation, we have a number of great facilities. Just this last year in Harriman, we opened a terrific library and a recreation center that's just maybe one of the best we have on the whole valley. And we have those types of recreation amenities, both in terms of facilities and playing fields, all through the western part. And of the valley. Yeah, we have the Salt Lake County Equestrian Park out in South Jordan, which I think over this next year we're going to enhance and cater more to the horse shows and things like that. That could bring economic development into those communities as well. Mm-hmm. So there's a tremendous amount of county services and budget spent on the west side of the valley. There's always, and that's why, you know, with our six council people out of the nine on the council who serve specific council areas, they make sure that they're getting their fair share, and that we're looking at making sure that you know, we spread out the wealth, so to speak, countywide. And I think we've done a very good job of doing that too. Magna, for instance, just this last year got a new senior citizen center and a library that looks just terrific. So there's some great facilities out on the west side.
Jim, in recent years, as we talked about a little bit earlier, you helped lead the county's transition from having a sheriff's department to having a unified police department, giving all the cities that are involved more input in how the organization runs. Now, before we get to this whole, you know, UPD fee issue and controversy that got bogged down in, what was the benefit of transitioning to this unified police department? What does it actually mean?
Well, what it means is that we're into more of a regional policing model, which in a community like ours, Salt Lake County, with over 13 cities, each having the possibility of having their independent police departments, there was a real tough time of coordinating and also losing a whole lot of money in terms of just the economies of scale. We had contracts with a number of cities to provide a service, and so every year the city would get together with their council and say, and negotiate with us a contract saying, okay, this is how many police we want in our area in any particular time. Here are the services we want now, you know, and then we'd negotiate over the cost. That got to be very burdensome for two reasons. One is because of the number of cities that were buying our services, and secondly, nobody felt terribly comfortable about the county's role in terms of establishing the cost. It was almost like a take it or leave it. If you don't like what we're paying, go find another one or start your own police department, and that's very, very expensive. Mm. So there was a real feeling upon with the mayors of the cities that they weren't getting justice in terms of being able to truly negotiate and provide a public safety service to their community. So the idea of the regional model came across, and that is that we will take the sheriff's deputies, the sheriff patrol, and spin that off from the county. And the contract cities will become true partners in terms of this regional model. So we're not talking about the boundaries of unincorporated county or the boundaries of Riverton. We're all one area. And that as a board of trustees, the mayor sit on the board of trustees of the UPD, and they establish the budget. They have a voice, just like the council or the mayor of the Salt Lake County did in the past. They are equal partners at the table, and that is absolutely critical. And to date, we have Harriman and Riverton, Holiday City, unincorporated county, obviously, and just recently Midvale joined. And I think that you'll see other cities looking very, very closely at this because the model works very effectively, and it also can keep the cost of public safety down as well, and that's critical. And most importantly, too, the cities who are involved in this feel now that they're truly partners and not just on a take-it-or-leave-it contract-type basis, and that's critical.
Getting to the fee issue, you know, it wasn't because of this new policing model that this fee was imposed. It was because money was taken out of the sheriff's budget and, you know, that was paid for using this fee on unincorporated county residents. The county, you know, has later been able to do away with that by raising property taxes. But in the meantime, certainly that fee generated quite a bit of controversy. Do you still think that was the best option at the time?
It was the only option at the time. The council had voted, just as we were making the transition from the Salt Lake County Deputies Patrol, we were making that transformation into the UPD, a separate independent body. But also coincidental to that was the fact that our economy went bust and we had no sales tax. Now, traditionally, the county had spent a great deal of sales tax revenues on paying for law enforcement. Mm-hmm. That money went away. The only option is, because we only have two revenue sources, sales tax and property tax, The other option would have been to raise property taxes fairly significantly to meet the cost of public safety. And all of this was happening very, very rapidly, so we had to make a decision. The council decided not to raise taxes. Well, that left no way to pay for law enforcement. So immediately we had in place the Salt Lake Valley Law Enforcement Service Area, which has a taxing ability, but we had that body implement the fee as a way to generate money to pay for law enforcement. Since we didn't have sales tax coming in, we couldn't pay for it that way. The council was reluctant to raise property taxes. That left no alternative. So over a short course of 2.5-3 months, we put together that fee program. And I'll tell you this, Jeff, and I'm not, it was great public policy. The fee is great public policy. It was terrible politics. It was one of those situations. And so when the opportunity came, we did away with it. What we are doing is taking the unincorporated property tax that was going to fund our municipal services in Salt Lake County. We've taken that property tax down to zero on the county side and transferred it over to the district. And that what that means is that people will have no new tax. It'll be shifted from the municipal property tax over to our law enforcement tax, but it's an even what we took. We took municipal down to zero, and we put that same amount in into Sylvisa, which is the law enforcement service area. So the net thing is zero increase to the people, but now law enforcement is funded through property tax, which it should be, and provides the continuity and the longevity and the predictability, which is extremely important to be able to know what kind of money you're going to have next year to be able to pay for the police and the needs of the community. So in the end, it worked out really, really well. But you're correct. The fee was a hot topic there for a year, but it was the only course we had. I bit the bullet and said, I'll take the lead on this because, UPD, I played a significant role in that. I felt the responsibility to make sure it would work, but there were no options.
This is Politics Up Close on KCBW. My guest in the studio for the next few minutes still is Salt Lake County Councilman Jim Bradley, who is running for re-election this year. Our number is 801-355-TALK. That's 801-355-8255. Well, getting to, the politics of the county council, Jim, you've been there during brief times of Democratic control, just 2 years there, and much longer times of Republican control, usually in a 5-4 basis there with a 9-member council. Mm-hmm. What's that like, and does it make it more difficult or easier to get things done?
Well, it makes it more interesting, and I think it probably provides a greater level of discussion that I think is very appropriate to make public decisions because you'll have the full spectrum of political philosophies on what governments ought to do. There have been some issues that have come down to strict party lines and continue to do so, but you'd be surprised at how few those are. The important issues that I see, like the urban farming initiative or criminal and social justice issues, sometimes unanimous votes, sometimes 7-2, 8-1 in favor of doing these things. So on the very important things that the county does, it's been, I think, an excellent council in terms of our ability to talk to one another, discuss the issues, fight, of course, and argue and do what you're supposed to do, but come together. And it's a good model on how national politics ought to work. I mean, because we are friends. We are friends in the sense that we're cordial. We have respect for one another. We may not agree, but we move on and take the next issue.
And, Jim, there's a clip we've played in the past. I'm not going to play it today because I don't happen to have it handy, where you seem to be losing your temper a little bit with, I think it was Mark Crockett at the time. And how did that experience unfold? And do you occasionally lose your temper as a politician?
Oh, not really. That was more fun. It was funny. Mark and I, I think the world of Mark, and I know he's running for, an office this year too. But there was a time when he kept pushing an issue and just kind of being a little catty about it. He started pointing his finger at me, and I said, you keep pointing that finger at me, I'm going to come over and blah, blah, blah. But, shortly after, I go in and say, Mark, it's all in fun. It is. I mean, the Democrats, you ought to hear some of the things we say to each other. It's terrible.
Jim, some of our listeners will remember that you ran for governor back in the 1990s. I'm curious what you took away from that experience, and is there anything you still carry with you today from it?
Well, you know, just fond memories. I mean, I ran against Mike Leavitt after his first term. There was no way I was going to beat him. I mean, you know, I mean, I knew that going in, but I felt it was appropriate that at least we had the debate between you know, the Republicans and the Democrats about the how, what direction the state ought to take, and that somebody needed to suit up and do it. And I happened to be available for that summer, and I said, I will do it, but under no expectation that I'm going to win, because I know I'm not. But, you know, the good part of this is I got out and saw the state. Mike Leavitt, to his credit, showed up to a tremendous amount of debates. We had a great respect for one another, had I thought substantive debates that that talked about the differences in opinion, and it served its purpose. The positive I took out of that was, one, being able to go out and just meet people. I love that, and going throughout the state. But also, I didn't lose a night of sleep wondering how I was going to win this. I mean, I got good sleep every night knowing that I wasn't going to win it.
Getting to another election that will have an effect on how the county operates, Jim, there's a very interesting county mayor's race this year, particularly on the Democratic side, with you know, state senators Ben McAdams and Ross Romero running against each other. What are your thoughts on this race? Are you picking sides here, and do you think it has a potential to divide the Democratic Party if there are some bitter feelings left afterwards?
There's always talk about whether we should have contested offices among party people because of bitter feelings afterwards. I think that it provides good exposure to the two candidates that they may not be able to get just being in the news saying they're running against each other. We're lucky to have two candidates in Ross Romero and Ben McAdams who are very bright, very good, and do an excellent job, either one who gets elected there. We also have the interesting curiosity that we have at least one member of the council is running, Richard Snellgrove, on the Republican side.
Right.
So the and we've been able to balance all of that on the council, and that's the politics. I'm notoriously bad when it comes to party politics. I mean, I'm just terrible. But so I kind of sit back, observe a little, and maybe endorse somebody rarely, and move on, but I just let them fight it out, and whoever gets elected, I want to have that good relationship where we can actually do good things that we were elected and paid to do.
And finally, Jim, are you confident that at the end of the day, Jim Bradley will be the victor in this race?
Well, I think there's some challenges this year, and I think the big challenge is not my record, really, but the Romney factor, quite frankly. I think we're all sitting around figuring out, okay, now how do I get elected as a Democrat when Romney's going to do very well here in this state? Now, you can do it, and you have to work hard, and it's certainly doable, but you know, I would much rather have a Santorum as the president. But, you know, on the other hand, too, whether it's a person of the other party or not, I want somebody with brains and a sense of public policy and what the purpose of it is, and I feel much more comfortable with Romney than Santorum. So even though it doesn't help me, it's probably better for the country that he's the other candidate. Not necessarily president, but the other candidate.
I've been speaking with Democratic Salt Lake County Councilman Jim Bradley. He is running for re-election this year to the Salt Lake County Council at large, seat C, is it? I can never keep track of these
things. Okay. Yeah, seat C.
All right, Jim, well, thank you for your time.
Thank you very much.
This is Politics Up Close. We'll be right back.